Hey everybody, welcome back to Wokeland.
Hello.
Of course, it is the Simones.
Back at ya.
Nobody else. And today we have part two of our gentrification episode. Mm-hmm. We hope you guys enjoyed part one. We really enjoyed being able to speak to, you know, people from Oakland who are dealing with gentrification right now in their lives. So we hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah, and we love the discussion that's going on our Instagram right now. So please keep up with that and follow the comments and respond. And let's really get a conversation going.
Yeah, and we're going to keep posting that sort of content as we promote these episodes. So stay tuned. But today we have part two.
Yes. So on this episode, we spoke to Stanley, who is our neighbor, actually, and he has been so welcoming and inviting to us since moving here. He works for the Western Services Workers Association, which is actually just right around the corner from where we live.
Yeah, in West Oakland.
In West Oakland, in the Lower Bottoms. And he kind of details his role there as an advocacy coordinator. Mm-hmm. And we learned some things about him that we didn't know. We didn't know he was a Black Panther.
Yeah. All power to the people.
All power to the people. Mm-hmm. And that really, the Western Services Workers Association is a self-help organization and works with the Coalition of Concerned Legal Services as well as medical professionals. So it's a really great resource for people who can't pay their bills or don't have health insurance and may need, a dentist or a medical professional to help them out with anything that's going on, as well as legal services. And he kind of details how they helped him receive the deed to his property.
Yeah,
he had a probate lawyer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, this episode we think is great just because it gives people more resources on what to do when you're about to lose your house or maybe like Elsa said, can't pay your bills. So Stanley gives a lot of great information.
And he's lived here for almost 60 years.
Yeah.
Born and bred. That is what you call born and bred.
He is born and bred. He's a real Oakland local. And one of the originals, as he says in the episode. So he has a lot of insight and has seen the changes. And, you know, he also has interesting hopes for the future of West Oakland and Oakland. So listen in and see if you guys agree with what he thinks the future of, you know, Oakland is going to be. But yeah, here's Stanley.
I'll be 57 this coming Sunday, and I've been here 57 years.
Leo season.
I was in the Black Panthers when they was on 10th Street. Yeah, 10th. I mean, 11th for Rother.
Mm-hmm. But you're a Black Panther.
I was a Black Panther. Yeah, I was.
Stanley, you never mentioned this.
Oh yeah, I was in the Black Panther.
Oh yeah. Okay, all power to the people.
Yeah, I used to have the Black Panther hat.
And, yeah.
I had a big natural hair, the Black Panther hat.
Yeah.
And I always had my hair, that. Right. Black power.
Right.
Wow.
Police didn't like that though. Didn't like that at all.
Of course not. Wow, 57 years. Well, first of all, happy early birthday.
Oh, thank you.
So, for someone who's been here for 57 years, what to you has been the most striking change? Other than, I know you said you have a lot more homeless people coming in for services as far as their PG&E is concerned, but what else? What changes have you noticed?
The most striking change to me is the property, the rehabilitation of property and for people who don't have it no more and just people just taking it. And you see many colors down here now that wasn't here before. So it's like that. That's a real big change. Just so much. It's just so many races there. I mean, it's all nations here now. I mean, whether they're Arabic or, everybody's down here now, And, I never saw that before. You see everybody jogging early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
White, it's not a whole lot of Black, but it's a lot of white, Chinese or whatever, jogging down here now, But property is the biggest change. And, we have our house right now, and we have our house. We need work done to it, but right now we don't have the money to rehabilitate our house, restore it, but that's what we have. And we're not giving our house up.
You own it?
No, we own our house.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
House. Yes, we do. We own our house.
You gotta keep that.
You gotta keep it.
We own our house. All we do is pay taxes, but we own our house and that's it. Yeah.
So what do you think, 57 years, just seeing changes, seeing what's going on, what do you think has been the driver of a lot of the changes in the neighborhood, in your opinion?
Well, it's happening. I think a lot of the issues you know, at one time was drugs. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, it was very drug infested at one time. And so mm-hmm. a lot of that left. And upon that, I think, you know, I think that had a lot to do with change in this, you know, in this community things, you know, that leaving. Then in a test of time, in the process, things changed like that, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And just better, you know, better things happen, you know, better things had to happen, you know, upon that. But I think as far as Black people here keeping things that they owned and having things, you know, a lot of them didn't have a chance, you know, at one time when they were losing their house, foreclosure, you know, a lot of people didn't have a chance at foreclosure. Even if you weren't Black, if you were, you know, because a lot of people, you know, when foreclosure happened, you know, if you was trying to have some, even then, you know, you just lost your property. And mm-hmm. and so that was, I think that was a tactic. I think that was one of the tactics of getting rid of people, you know, in the early stages of gentrification. I think that was the early tactic of that, you know, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there was Mexican people, you know, people that I know live next door to me and stuff, own their property and everything. And they lost their house through the bank. And I mean, these were people who had money, you know. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have enough money, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that foreclosure was a tactic of one of the first stages of gentrification in this neighborhood that, you know, and all around, you know, in any neighborhood that just started driving us out. That was the first stage of it. And then it went on and progressed, you know, and it progressed and it just elevated to us to a place where people, you know, like they are now, you know.
Right.
You know.
Just like money and people not having enough of it to keep their
keep up
with their payments.
And so. even to this day, people are still losing their places, you know. Right. People are still being pushed out, and a lot of people just, you know, somehow or another, rather, you know, they can't pay their bills, you know. You know, I run into a lot of that there, you know, between your bills, your rent and all those kind of things, you know, you just one or the other, you can't pay, and so you lose, you know. And so I see a lot of people, you know, get homeless like that, which is really bad, you know.
Who do you think are the people or the person mainly in charge for pushing people out? Is it greedy landlords? Is it?
No, it's the government. It's our government. Because the people that I work, what I do there, that's what we there for. Because our government is, you know, we there to, you know, hopefully change our government. And we there to take back the things that are rightfully ours. And that's what we do. We took back the water theft penalty. It took a year to fight it, but we took it back. For the water theft penalty was, once they cut your water off and you turn it back on, they charge you $1,000.
Whoa.
And then if you did it a second time, they charge you $2,000. If you did it a third time, they charge you $3,000. And so we was going to court at this time. We was fighting a water theft penalty at this time, and we won. We finally won the water theft penalty over a little bit over a year, like a year and 2 months. Mm-hmm. And so now we got it down to if the first time you cut your water on, after it's been shut off, it's no penalty, no charge at all. And the second time it's $200, and the third time it's $400. You know, that's $3,000 to $400. Wow. So we did beat that. So those are the kind of things that we do there, you know. And it was a hard fight, but we did it, you know.
And you're saying it's our government because
it's our government that
they're allowing these crazy penalty fees to happen, or they're allowing.
Yeah, but the water company, you know, when we talked to them, they said that they didn't know that people were getting charged with these fees. They said that they thought it was for construction, people who was doing construction and they was using water, and they was getting these fees, but that wasn't the case. People in the community was actually getting these fees, you know. And so they act like they didn't know about it. And so those are the things we brought to their attention. And so, you know, and so we fought for that and we won, you know. And so that's what we do.
That's awesome that you guys won.
Yeah.
Those are the things we do. We do a lot. We block like about $350,000 in fees and fines, you know. Mm-hmm. And we beat PG&E before too. Before I even came there, they beat PG&E, you know, blocking thousands of dollars, you know. So I'm glad to be there. I'm glad to be a part of change. I'm glad to be a part of, you know, helping people get the things that we need, you know, and which is rightfully ours, you know.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't have to struggle as hard as we do, and we do, you know.
I mean, you're talking about people who come into to your services to get their bills paid, or if they need help with their water bill or electricity. And how does it feel to know that people can't pay their bills in this neighborhood on one side, but then on the other side, you see like these homes going up for $1 million?
Yeah, right. It's hard. It's hard. It's really hard.
people who have $1 million to spend on a house and
people who don't have nothing.
$200 for a PG&E or we're walking side by side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's something. It's strange. It's very strange. You know, I have some friends that are Caucasian. They live right a house away from where I work at. And, they bought their house. They're a young couple. They're friends of mine, though. I mean, across the street? No, they're still on the same side of the building that I live on. Mm-hmm. David and Lulu, I don't know if you know them.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know David and Lulu? Well, anyway, he bought his house, and their owner's there. You know, he's the owner of his house, and, you know, we're just friends. But he got his house through a friend, and which was really wasn't a lot of money. And somehow or another, this who you know, he got his house kind of cheap, really, really, you know, cheap considering this day and age, and it was cheap. And he was able to get it, and that's where they live. You know, they're not married; they're a young couple, and they have a lot of fun. They do, you know, they're not ready to have no kids. They just, they just be balling all outdoors. You know.
Yeah. It's interesting. You've never seen anything like this?
I never seen nothing like that. No, I never seen nothing like this as long as I lived. No. Yeah.
I know, I mean, when we speak to people, they say, you know, West Oakland specifically was so full of drugs, was dangerous, and that kept a lot of outsiders from coming in the neighborhood. Now you have industries that are booming. You have, like, a lot of tech companies that are in San Francisco and the surrounding area, so people are moving to Oakland and essentially breaking the seal. And now that new people are coming in, more people are going to come in.
Like I said, it was, you know, the foreclosure was a tactic.
Yeah.
As far as getting rid of people and after that there were so many tactics that and it just drove people out. And so now this is the spot. This is the gold mine. This is the gold pot right here, you know. And this is where it's at. And so, you know, and we don't have a chance. There's no win here now, you know. If you don't have anything, if you don't have any money, you know, you can't even live. I mean, it's hard to live. You can't live down here, you know. It's just no way. It's not going to happen.
So do you think there will be a time where West Oakland, or specifically our neighborhood, like in the lower bottoms, where it will not be black anymore?
Yeah, that's coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's coming. That's coming. I really think that's coming. If you don't own anything down here, then you're not going to have anything down here. It's coming. It's coming to a place, even all the people in the camps down here, all this, there's so much going on down here now that everything that you've seen that's going on now, it's all going to leave. It's just a matter of time now, you know. It's coming. It's just what it's going to be. And that's why everybody, you know, I even had friends, a couple, there was a white couple live across the street from me, and they got pushed out. And now there's three white guys living in the same place, but they just make more money. They all have good jobs. And so she pushed them out, and she rehabilitated the place a little bit. She changed the electrical and all that, you know, did a little work to it. And then now they rent it out. I'm the yard keeper. I do landscaping, you know.
Okay.
But these guys made money, and they couldn't even buy a lawnmower or a weed eater to do the yard. And so the lady asked me to do it. That's one of the things. That's the way it is. And she's a white lady, you know, and she's a friend of mine. I knew her a long time ago. You know, she lost her husband. I met her through her husband, but she lost him in a car wreck with her brother-in-law and sister-in-law and all that kind of stuff, you know. And she was the sole survivor, and that's how I know her. But anyway, that's how it is. She moved. These were even white people that were living there. She pushed them out just to rehabilitate, you know, just to make more money. And even people who own property and have renters right now, they're pushing them out to, you know, because
make more.
Because that's one of the tactics now too. It's to bring your property up to date now, you know.
Renovate.
And so And so, you know, to a code. And when you do that, and then you're able to, you know, get rid of people and, you know, make it look right for other people to move in. And so that's another tactic that they use it, you know.
So what did it take for, like, you to keep your house, you and your family?
I went to, where I work at, you know, there's resources. Mm-hmm. We have a Coalition of Concerned Medical Professionals, which is one of the benefits that we have for people who need medical, who can't afford medical or from out of state or don't, you know, for any reason that you don't have medical. And we do have that. And so that's Coalition of Concerned Medical Professionals. But then on the other hand, we have Coalition of Concerned Legal Professionals, and which is in San Francisco. And so I went there to a legal session, and I talked to an attorney about my case and everything. And believe it or not, this man, he was a white guy. He was so cool. He got all the legal documents for me together and everything. Mm-hmm. And he navigated me through the whole thing. He navigated me through the whole thing. And my brother is, you know, he's the one is executive of the estate. And so, you know, but he took us through the process. We did it. And so that's one, you know, that's another benefit that we have there. And we have legal sessions and stuff, and we have medical sessions also. Okay. And so throughout that, I mean, if I wasn't working there, it wouldn't have never happened. But from working there, I just asked him about how could I keep my house. I asked him about, does she know her attorney? And she told me about Quality's No Concern, legal professionals. And I went there and I kept my house. That's how it happened.
Wow. Was it a family member who owned it prior to you? Or
no, my mother. My mother died.
Oh.
And so nobody, it wasn't in nobody's name.
Mm.
We was just paying taxes. You know, long we paying taxes. And then we had a loan. My mother took out a loan on our house, and we never paid those people back. And so through a Coalition of Concerned Legal Professionals, they made us write these people. You know, we wrote them a letter. I had the letter at home. We wrote them a letter, and finally sent us a letter back. And they told us what we need to do to keep our house. That's what we do. And so we have our house, and, you know, that's it, and that's all.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure a lot of people don't know about that. You said it was the Coalition.
Coalition of Concerned Legal Professionals. And you know what? And really, they can help anybody. They can help you. They can help you out. Anybody. They can help anybody out.
Okay.
Who needs their help? You know.
Yeah.
I have a card in my pocket. I mean, you know. Yeah. I just when I asked her about it, this attorney was having we needed a probate lawyer. And when I asked her about it was a probate lawyer speaking at the Coalition of Concerned Medical Professionals in San Francisco that Saturday, and I went to it, and I talked to him, and I was the first one there. So I was the first one he seen.
Yeah.
And I told him about everything, and he got everything together for me. And he got all the documents. He told me it would have cost us about $25,000. We didn't pay anything.
Yeah. Wow.
But he said there was a service that would have cost us about $25,000. You know, we ain't got that kind of money.
Yeah.
You know, like that. And we ain't going on no payment plan, right?
Right. 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 Has anyone ever approached you about buying your home?
No, it's always somebody wants. It's always people looking at our house, mm-hmm. You know, nobody has asked us anything, and it's not on the market. So
we actually spoke to a black real estate agent mm-hmm. recently, and he said, and he advised, and he's from Oakland, and he advised people, specifically black people who own their homes, to not sell
mm-hmm.
in Oakland. And he said the only way, you know, like, we can preserve our culture and preserve ourselves, just preserve in general, is to keep our homes. Do not sell it.
Mm-hmm. I know there's very few people that really own their places now in West Oakland. You know, there's a lot, but it's not, you know, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But the ones that have it, they have it, you know, and they're going to keep it. It's not a whole lot of originals, but it's a lot of originals. It's still some originals here, you know.
Yeah. Some, yeah. So you must have seen a lot of, like, your friends have to leave.
Mm-hmm. Like the McDougals, they're originals. They own their home right across the street. You know the McDougals. Those ones, they're originals. So it's some. It's still some originals here who own and would not, and they would not. Ain't nobody selling out who really own their places. Good.
Oh, I actually wanted to ask you. I mean, you said that, like, drugs were a big problem, like, back then.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I mean, some would say that drugs still are around now.
They're still around, but you know what? It ain't no good no more anyway.
Yeah.
The drugs aren't good anymore?
No, they ain't good no more.
The good stuff was in like the 80s.
Yeah, it was. That was the good stuff. Was.
She's talking like she was there in the 80s.
I watched the documentary.
Really, it ain't no good no more. Mm. It's garbage now. So, you know, you can do, it's either near or there now, you know, really, you know. You either do it or you don't. And people who are still there, I know people who are still there, and it's old now. I mean, you know, just, I was there, but I'm done. You know, I'm done. I drink a little wine now, but that's fine. Yes. I don't do any drugs anymore. Okay. I had some wine today. I'm not going to lie. I had some wine.
No, you need wine. Yeah.
Red or white?
I like Chardonnay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bubbly?
No, it's white wine. It's white wine. Yeah.
I know you said earlier that it's done. It's over. It's canceled. Like, we're just out
no,
of here.
No, well, you know, we have to organize. We have to come together as like we're doing there, you know. We have to organize, and we have to fight for what's rightfully ours, and We have to stand for it and you just fight, you know? And it's a process, you know, but as long as we stay together and stand together and, you know, and with the ambition to win, I think we can do it. And that's it. That's the only way I can see it, you know? And that's what I do. That's what I do. Organize. That's why I be there. That's why you see me there all the time. Yeah. All the time. I'm a fighter.
And there you have it.
What'd you guys think?
Yeah. So first of all, shout out and thank you to Stan Lee.
Yes.
For the interview. Really great insights, especially from someone who in West Oakland is seeing the change, has been here from the beginning and can talk about it. So we really appreciate it. So what do you guys think? Any thoughts, comments? Let us know. You know where to find us on social media at Wokeland Podcast, Erwer. Guess what?
What?
Part 3.
Thrice. We got to come at y'all thrice times.
Right. Because gentrification is not no, you know, this is not no easy topic.
Yeah, no plaything.
Right. Real. So this was part 2. Part 3 coming up. We're going to be speaking in part 3 to
Eric Johnson,
who's the executive director of the Oakland Housing Authority. He gives us more of like a, even though they're not attached to the government in terms of like funding, they give more of like a federal overview of pretty much why this is all happening right now.
Yeah. So we're coming at you guys with so many different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you enjoy it.
Yes. All right. See you guys next week.